Mom's Worst Day podcast is an avenue for mothers to share their stories, things that did not go quite as planned, and interesting trials that come with motherhood. The podcast aims to encourage and uplift women, ease the burden of their ever-present mom guilt, and to let them know that they're not alone. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, and welcome to Mom's Worst Day. You've got this, mama. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mom's Worst Day. I am here with the gleaming and glowing Tuke Morgan. Tuke, welcome on the show.
Thank you.
Hand claps, hand claps. Thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
Please, please, please introduce yourself because you're a proper like multi-hyphenate.
Yes.
You do so many things. Yeah. Tell us what you do.
Okay, so hi, everyone. My name is Tuke Morgan. I'm a saxophonist and a content creator. So I create content on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and I have a lifestyle blog as well.
Hey. You heard the girl, so please look her up, follow her. I love Tuke's content. I think she's so amazing. I don't know, like I just wish we could get like, don't worry, we'll have pictures and videos of what your skin is doing right now because I'm just confused. I don't even know where to look. You look so good, so beautiful.
You.
Jeez. So tell me about yourself as a mom. I know you have one child, Tyrenny.
Yes.
What does Tyrenny mean? Like, I've always been curious. It's such a beautiful name.
Okay, so it's Tyrenny Olua, mm-hmm. and it means he's yours, oh Lord. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
And that child will truly be his in the
amen,
mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And how was pregnancy for you?
It was rather interesting. It was unexpected. So we got married in March and then in June, I found out I was pregnant.
Okay.
And yeah, we had wanted to wait like a year or two.
Oh.
And we were doing like the fertility window thing, but mm-hmm. it didn't really work out.
So, evidently.
Yeah, it didn't work out. So yeah, I was just like, okay, cool. So at first I was actually like a bit sad and I was crying and I called my husband. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this.
Oh no.
And he was like, look at the bright side, like the miracle is a blessing. And then my mindset changed. And yeah, it was an interesting journey. First, there was morning sickness, throwing up like 9 times a day. I couldn't go into the kitchen. And yeah, I lost some weight. And then I now started gaining the weight and my skin. Like my skin went through so much. Like I had so many dark patches on my skin. Even after pregnancy, like on my neck, I had patches all over. And it only started to clear when I was like consistent with my skincare routine.
So, that's amazing. So one, I love that you said that. I mean, obviously, I'm not happy that you're sad. That's not
it was unexpected.
To say.
Like,
but I love that you said that you were sad because the thing is, a lot of people think that pregnancy, when it comes within marriage, for the most part, you know, you're just overjoyed and you're just so happy. It's just so amazing. But sometimes it's not.
Yeah, and like, I just felt like I got married young even. Like, I just wasn't ready for this.
How old were you when
so
you
I was 25.
Okay, okay.
Not that young, but it was still
it's
young.
Still,
like,
still
I was one of the
young.
First amongst my friends. So.
Same. Yeah. I got married when I was 24, so
oh,
I completely
wow.
understand. I can relate to that and that feeling of shock. I mean, it's not really shock, because you know what you did to
and
get
you
pregnant.
You do something, there are consequences.
you know what you did to get pregnant, so... but anyway, it was a surprise
yes.
and you were initially upset about it.
Yes.
And that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your emotions are valid
yeah.
because we are expected, like, you know, like I had mentioned, you're married and then baby comes and you're just overjoyed. But sometimes it's like, that's not actually my plan. So I understand you being upset about it, but you started to look at the positives
mm-hmm.
and now you have your beautiful baby
yeah.
boy. So... apart from like dark patches when you were pregnant, you know, pregnancy was relatively smooth.
Relatively smooth. Just
that's
the throwing
good.
Up and then the gaining of the weight. I gained like 20 kg and I was like, whoa.
Oh, I love to hear that. You're my people.
Yeah.
I gained 30 kg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I'm a gainer. All three pregnancies, I always gain weight.
Wow.
So whenever I hear like other moms have gained, you know, a substantial amount of weight, I'm like, yeah. Okay,
and then
so
after when
together.
The baby came out, I just thought, okay, you know, the tummy would at least go down small. I was like, what's going on?
Do you know that that is a scam?
Yeah.
Because in the movies,
mm-hmm.
when they're walking home, when they're going home with the baby, stomach's already flat. So, you know, when I had my son, I was looking, I was like, ah, I don't understand. But I still look pregnant.
no. Yeah. This is not what Hollywood told me.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening. And you still look pregnant for some time. It's very shocking and traumatizing, but here we are. So if you're a mom to be, an aspiring mother, just so you know, don't let Nollywood trick you.
Prepare your mind for the changes.
You are going to be looking pregnant for some time, sis, and that's okay. So did you go into content creation after you had the baby, or was it something you were doing
before? I've actually been blogging. Like, I started my blog in 2014. So I've been creating content since then. So
What's your blog about?
So it's Suke's Quest. Now people don't really read blogs as much. So
I know. Yes. Isn't that such a shame?
I know. So before people used to be excited, like every Monday they want to see the new fashion post and all of that. But now it's Instagram, TikTok. Really, yeah. So it's lifestyle, so fashion, hair, beauty, skincare, food, and travel.
What year did you get married
in? So I got married in 2018.
2018, and you're 25.
Yeah.
And so how did you feel getting married that young? And if you were to have a daughter, would you want her to be married young as well?
So I actually. Like, I was looking forward to it, to be honest. We'd been dating for 4 years. So we got married on our 4th year anniversary of dating.
Oh,
yeah. So, like, and he's like 6 years older. So he had actually wanted to get married earlier. But I was like, yo, uncle, chill. Like, just chill small.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, I was looking forward to it, to be honest.
Okay. But did you feel, at the time that you had Tyranny, did you have other moms your age that had babies?
So a few of my friends, very few of my friends.
Okay, so you even had a few. So that's not
like
so bad.
Yeah, like two, but yeah, they were older. Like maybe the year below me, the year above me in school.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you feel like a fish out of water? Did you feel like, oh, you've got this and you already had people to talk to? Because from my experience, being married young, I didn't really know anyone that had a baby.
Yeah.
So I was just looking around like, okay, who is going to help me?
Yeah, so I talking to people pressure. I wasn't even close. Like when I found out I was pregnant, one of the first people I called was another saxophonist as a mom, and I was like, girl, how did you do this thing? Like, when did you stop playing? When did you start playing again? And then I just spoke to another content creator, Nikki Antis. I was like, how's this thing? So I was just calling people I know
reaching
that I'm not even
people.
That close to, but I know them, and I was like, just tell them the lowdown. Like, give me the honest truth about this motherhood journey.
I like that. At least you even have the presence of mind to reach out to people, because a lot of moms tend not to, especially because you had said you don't really know them maybe that well, but you'd reach out anyway. A lot of moms tend not to do that because we feel like we should have the answers, because motherhood is so natural.
Yeah,
and once you have the baby, like all the answers are going to come so naturally, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not like that for the most part. So being able to reach out to people, I think, is so important. I think it's important to build a community of women so that you'd be able to learn from them.
And then other people have even like learned from me as well. So when like my friends now got pregnant, this care, what's on your baby list? Like, what hospital did you use? Why did you choose this hospital? And I'm glad I could answer those questions and like help other people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So regarding like content creation, I love that your content is so like uplifting and so positive. I wanted to ask, like, how are you maintaining your voice on social media? Because it's hard not to conform, right? Like, because you look around, you see what's happening on Instagram, and you see people doing nonsense and getting like 100 million zillion likes, you know? And you are very intentional about the kind of content you create, and everything's really uplifting. And I was just wondering how you were managing to do that.
Well, one thing about me is I don't allow myself to be like heavily influenced by other people. So I like to stay true to who I am and be my authentic self. And I feel like that's even one of the things that has made me stand out. So I wouldn't create content because everyone is doing it. It has to be something I want to do. Like, I won't force myself to create content because it will come out unnatural.
Right. I love that. I think it's very hard when you're trying to your best to keep it positive. And even with me as well, like sometimes I'm like, oh, do I do something a little bit risque?
And sometimes you just have to take breaks. Like if things happen, you're just like, yeah, I'm not in the right mental space for this. I'm just going to take some time off and then come back.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that social media breaks are so important. Like there are times where I just... I just leave. I'm just like, I don't even make an announcement. Like, yeah. Some people are like, oh, you know, I'm just going to take some time off my page because, you know, just for me and I'll be back in like a week. I don't. Like, if I drop the last post, that's 3 weeks later. I'm like, oh,
Hi, guys.
I'm hey. Welcome back, guys. You know, took a minute off, but now I'm here anyway because I find that living on social media is so draining. Mm-hmm. It's so, so draining and it can really, really impact your mental health. Yeah. So I take regular breaks. I love, love, love that you said that. So I wanted to ask about being a saxophonist. How did that even start for you? Like, I think it's so fascinating that that is like your career. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love to see women who have like not unconventional careers, but creative careers. Because the world is changing now.
It is.
And I just, I love it. How did you get started on that journey?
Okay, so like in primary school, I was playing keyboard. And then in my secondary school, music wasn't really much of a thing. But then in SS3, they now had like this small band. So I was playing recorder. And then I went to A-levels. I was the only black person in my year. Everyone had this talent or like skills that they had just been honing since like year 7. So I was like,
that's true.
You know what? Let me just get involved. So I got involved in so many things. And I told my dad I want to learn guitar and strum and sing like Hannah Montana. And the Jonas was like, I was like, guitar? Like, what's guitar? Why guitar? And he was the one playing, so he was like, okay, do 2 trial lessons in the guitar and do 2 trial lessons in the sax. Like, I think you would like the sax. And I was like, okay, cool. So I did the 2 trial lessons in the guitar and I loved them. And I used to like make videos. And then I had my first sax lesson. I was like, okay, this is the one. This is the one. So I picked it up in lower 6. And yeah, I loved it. And because I started playing at such an old age compared to like a lot of people in my school, I was an intense practicer. Like, I was always practicing. Like, you see me walking in the snow from like our halls to the music cells to practice. So I put in a lot of time and effort. And then even in my uni, I was in a church where like music was a thing and the young people were like very active.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned some more from like other musicians there and then came back, did NYSC, learned some more. And that's how it started.
That's incredible. How has being a mom impacted your career? Like, has it slowed you down? Are you having to take work around? Are you around your schedule with your child? Are you having to turn down work?
Mm-hmm.
I ask because obviously that's like it's a point for women who want to have kids or thinking about having kids, like, oh, you know, how's it going to impact my career? So I was wondering what that was like for you.
Okay, so just before my wedding, I took a bit of a break from work because like wedding planning can be so intense. And I was the first daughter to get married. So many people, 1,000 guests.
Girl.
I mean, it was just a lot.
My sister.
And my dad is a pastor. My grandma had 44 brothers and sisters. So big family. Like, we just knew so many people. So I had to take a bit of a break from work. And then we move into a new house. We're setting up this new house, like buying furniture, going to Alaba to get things. And then, okay, I've gotten my new camera. I'm getting into work and then I get pregnant. That's why I was like quite upset because I was like, I'm finally getting back to work and now I have to deal with this again.
Right.
So I did have to take a break, especially in the first trimester when I was throwing up a lot. And then I went back to it, stopped at around 8 months. And then came back somewhat, but obviously it wasn't the same because when you're gone from the scene, people do like forget a bit and new people are coming up and even just the time to catch up and learn all these new songs that have come up, like it did affect my career a little bit, but things are like picking back up and motherhood still brought its own opportunities. So I started like earning money from creating content for like just mommy related brands. So even though there's like a trade-off, but yeah, it works out.
I love that you said that. Yeah, it kind of opened, motherhood also opened the doors for you. I'm fascinated with you having to learn like the current song because I always wonder, like when you go for like weddings, right?
Yeah.
And you just be grooving and the wedding band is like, this song just came out yesterday.
Yeah.
How do they know
it? I think it's like the musicians like I work with are so good. Like they're so good. They have their books with all these songs, with the old school, with the jazz, with the high life. So like you just have to keep working and learning the new songs and practicing it over and over and again so like you're not making mistakes. So,
are you a nuisance at home because you're practicing music?
So Shireni was actually scared at first. So like he was scared of the sax. Like until he was one. He didn't like the sound. Like, it would make you cry. I'm like, Uncle, what do you want me to do? This is my work.
Oh, my dear.
But yeah, like, now he's used to the sound. So I practice more during the day, like, when my husband is at work and he's at school.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because now he's old enough to be in school. Amazing. Yeah. So you, apart from being a saxophonist, you create content, like we've mentioned.
Yes.
How do you... Do you worry about, like, oversharing with your family? Because I find that moms in that space, right? And because you create content around motherhood, mm-hmm. you have to share about motherhood and share, you know, your child and your family life. And I think that that's beautiful mm-hmm. Because it gives people an opportunity to learn from you as well, from other women who are in families, etc. And I kind of do the same thing as well, but I also get nervous because sometimes it feels like, oh, am I sharing too much? Yeah. And how do you have those kind of fears as well? And how are you balancing or managing that thin line between being authentic and not oversharing?
Okay, so my husband is like a private person. He's not even a social media guy. Like, even my in-laws are like, they don't really get this social media thing. And so when I was pregnant, I didn't even share about it until the baby came. And
really?
Yeah, I didn't. And it was also like, yeah, I felt bad that I had to hold back, but my parents just thought it was the wise thing to do. And I see why. Because anything can happen and you don't want people now asking questions. So, yeah.
That's true.
Even like sharing his face, I didn't share his face for like the first few months because I just wasn't comfortable with sharing it. And I do it like, sparsingly, like I don't do it too much because just like, yeah, he didn't ask for this, you guys. He might not want to all these people to know about him, so yeah, you just have to find the balance.
Mm. Yeah. Because I worry, you know, at the same time, because I don't know, it's just really tricky, but I think that balance is different for everyone,
because mm-hmm. not everything you can share, like it's not all the struggles you can talk about, but some of them, when you know, it will be beneficial. So talking about my labor and delivery story, talking about the fact that, oh, if you're O negative, there's this injection you need to take when you're pregnant.
Oh yes, yeah, the rhesus, the what's it called, there's something, it's called the rhesus injection. Yeah, that's
so,
a good one.
They taught me about that in biology, so when I was pregnant, I was like, they said there's one injection I need to take.
Dad, please, can you tell me more about
take
it?
That injection.
That's so, yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's a fine line mm-hmm. to walk, because I also worry, at least in my situation, I also worry about presenting my life like it's over glossy, mm-hmm. you know? So you're just seeing, because you're like, I'm like, oh, premium pie. And you're just seeing me premium pieing every day. And it's not authentic because, well, I am a premium pie every day. But you
some
know,
days are tougher than others.
Some days are tougher than others, and just trying to find that. But it's difficult. But I just kind of take it like day to day, and I just see where I'm at. And mm-hmm. I honestly really pray for the spirit of discernment to kind of figure out what's safe to share, what's not safe to share, what's mm-hmm. beneficial.
And also, you have to be security conscious
exactly,
as well.
Being security conscious. It's so if you're a mom who is interested in going into like the content creation space, I don't think it's anything you should be worried about, because mm-hmm. there's some moms who worry about sharing all of that information. But I think if you follow Tuke at Tuke Morgan, she will give you a good idea yeah. on how to manage that balance. So Tuke, what is a perfect day to you? Oh, first of all, before we even get there, I remember you took a holiday with your husband.
Yeah.
Did you, and Tirani didn't go?
No, so we went to, which one? Like, I went to Abuja some weeks ago. Then we went
no,
to Benin.
Before that.
We went to Benin last year, but we're actually going on holiday very soon.
All those ones, are they not holiday? Okay,
no, this
so one,
this is like the honeymoon. This okay, actually okay, like, okay. I know it's 3 years later, but I'm like, this is my belated honeymoon.
I believe, yeah. And you deserve it.
Yeah, so we're going
I still haven't been on a yeah. honeymoon, because wow. I got pregnant a month after I was mm-hmm. so I got married in July mm-hmm. and then in August I was pregnant.
Wow.
So as we were planning the honeymoon, like we're literally like, oh, we're going to Maldives, so we're booking hotel, blah blah blah, blah. I'm
what's
feeling
going on?
I don't know, I'm feeling a bit sick. Yeah. So that's how my Maldives has not happened.
Please, you, must still, you must still go.
It's been 8 years, but go. I must surely go. This Maldives, I must go.
You
what's
must
that?
Go.
I've been seeing everybody's pictures. So I'll be looking at people's pictures. I'm like, eh? Had I gone 8 years ago, you know, they won't be using Maldives to rubbish me, yeah. but I'm going. So are you nervous about leaving Tirani for the first time?
So this is like the This is the first time for a long time because it's 2 weeks. So this is the longest we would have ever left him for. But I'm not that nervous just because, like, we have a really good nanny. And then there's my parents, there's my sister. And then my husband's mom is going to be around as well. So he has that support system. And he has a routine. He has his school that he's going to. He has his friends that he's playing with. So he'll be good. And even when I went to Abuja for 5 days, he didn't even miss me that much. I was the one that was missing him and getting emotional. He was enjoying life with his daddy.
You were getting emotional?
Yeah, like...
Was that your first time of traveling without him or being away from him?
For that long. So I hadn't gone away for that long before. It was 6 days. So before, the longest I had gone for was like 3 days, 4 days.
When was that? How old was he at the time?
So the first one was when he was just one. He had just turned one. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Benin by road. And my mom was like, why would you leave him? Are you sure he won't forget you when you come back? I'm like, no, he wouldn't.
No, he won't.
No, he wouldn't. And I was also supposed to, like, try and stop breastfeeding at that point, but I still continued when I came back.
You still continued when you came back?
Yeah.
He was one at the time.
Yeah, so I stopped at, like, 16 months. Hey. Yeah.
Everybody, please, a round of applause for this lady. A round of applause. 16 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could never do that. But I respect and admire women who breastfeed so much. 16, that's amazing. What a sacrifice.
Yes.
And we're very proud of you.
So I had to pump, like, at the most interesting places.
I can imagine.
Like, at a church. There was one time I had to park and pump at a church because my boobs were so heavy and
yes,
there was traffic.
Yes, it's so painful.
Like, I had to park and thank God for the nice usher that just, like, formed a nice little quiet corner for me to pump. But, yeah, that was an interesting
So when you went experience. To Benin Republic, you went with your husband? Just
yeah,
for like,
my husband.
Just like a romantic trip?
So like a group tour. Like I always wanted to go on all these group tours and we had never gone to Benin before. So I was like, yeah, let's go to this Casa del Papa that everyone is always talking
yes,
about.
Yes, that's true.
And experiences.
That's so amazing. Yeah. And like, because I love that you're not letting mom guilt hold you back because it's so important. Like I love that you've already taken like mini breaks and now you're going to take like a good 2 week trip.
Good
on you.
I can't wait. Instagram will hear you. Also
yeah, no we're on ground. I'm going to turn on my post notifications because I need to see this trip. 2 weeks, please. Kill us. I think it's important because the baby will be fine. And even if you feel like, even if the baby forgets you, and when I come back, you will remember me again. Like, I don't like when moms take on too much and don't give themselves breaks because...
It's necessary. Like, you would have a breakdown.
You will have a breakdown. And then you'll be a useless mom to your child and useless to everyone around you if you're in the middle of a mental breakdown. So yeah. I love it
that
for
my
you.
First year of motherhood, every month massage. Every month massage.
Is massage like your self-care?
Yes,
how you and you're consistent with it?
Yeah, so pedicure as well. But like that first year of motherhood and breastfeeding and baby waking up in the middle of the night for milk, no, I was like, no, massage every month. I need it.
That's a good one. Yeah. I think maybe I should try and schedule a massage for every month. Because I also work out a lot as well. So I feel like I'm always like in pain. Not in pain, but I'm always like tense. I think a massage would do me good. But me, like for me, self-care is highly important. Mm-hmm. I try and share, about my premium pie. I need to take care of myself to be premium. You know, the people need me. Mm-hmm. And I need myself, you know, so that I can be happy. So I love that. I love to hear that. What has been the best part of being a mom to you?
Having like a mini me and just the growth as well. Because sometimes I'm like, wow, this guy, like you're actually doing a good job. You raised this sweet, smart, kind boy. I always give myself a pat on the back, actually. Because it's not an easy thing to do. The sacrifices, just the struggles and unexpected curveballs you're thrown every other time. So, yeah.
I think the best part for me is just having someone... Or having people that look at you and you're just perfect to them.
Yeah, like they love you.
And they just love you. Like I'm not doing anything exceptional, you know. I'm just giving you food and they're just like, they just love you so much, you know. And it's been like that since they were babies. Like they look at you and they just fall in love with you. And it's like, oh, I'm worthy of love.
Do
I
you
deserve
want
to
more
be loved.
Children?
Girl, everyone, I don't want more children. Let's see, you know, but currently
yeah, good.
Currently I'm fine. I'm really enjoying premium pie life. I'm really enjoying being in the streets, mm-hmm. you know. I like being on road.
Yeah.
I also have a lot on at the moment, but I know that babies aren't deterrents to dreams. Yeah. So I know that even if I went on to have three more kids, they're not going to slow me down. They're going to make me better. I believe that children do make you better mm-hmm. as a person. So I'm not worried about that. So even if I were to have more kids, sure, why not? But presently,
yeah.
as for now, when I think about being pregnant, I'm like, oh, no, can't do it. When I think about, like, gaining 30 kilos, I'm like, no, can't
like
do
my
it.
So there are, like, 5 houses in my compound, and two of the houses, like, 2 ladies just had children. One was just born, like, last week Friday.
Amazing.
And then I was, like, last month, but I'm just like, wow, like, I don't miss it.
You don't miss it?
I don't miss this pumping
no,
life.
Like, no, I don't miss this. I don't miss it.
I don't miss this, so I'm not
ashamed to say that, like, I really hate breastfeeding. I've always hated it. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at it. I used to pump, so I'm an exclusive pumper. I love pumping. Pumping is, you know, my thing. I would try. So with Marobi, my first, I tried the breastfeeding thing. I tried for like 3 months. I was like, oh, it's not really my thing. I'm going to pump with my. And then after him, I don't even bother. Yeah. So literally from when they are born, I just start pumping because it's just not my thing. I also felt really bad about it for a very long time because I thought breastfeeding is something that was just supposed to be like supernatural, mm-hmm. but I've just never gotten the hang of it. And
yeah, like, I wasn't now even breastfed, and I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with me.
Do you know, I love that. I feel like our moms, they didn't care.
They didn't stress themselves.
So I used to struggle with breastfeeding my son. I was having all sorts of issues, like latch issues, my nipples, this, that, and the other. So I'll be feeding my, and I'll be crying, and my mom would just be looking at me like,
it's not by force.
This is the ghetto. She doesn't even like all this disorganized. You're bringing out your breasts, like your milk, then you are crying, baby. She's like, this is the ghetto. And if you know about like Igbo women, they're so feisty, they're so rude, and they really like, for them, it's just, she's like, you're not looking. That was the meaning of that.
What's going on?
Disorganized. Please go and give this boy formula and stop embarrassing all of us. You're outside. You're trying to bring out breasts. You can imagine the look of disgust. She'll be looking at it like, what is this? Then I'll ask, okay, no, I want to pump. And I'll bring out my
feet.
And
she's just cover
like,
yourself. Oh,
like, she's just like, I can't actually witness this. This is too gross for me.
Wow.
So I love that. Our moms didn't care.
So I had to try for the last one. He's like 15 years younger than me. So she had a pump, but she was like, oh, so painful.
Like, why? Yeah, so she didn't do that. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, and that's one thing I really admire about our moms. And like, they did all this stuff I heard. It's like, please, I actually can't do it. At least when it comes to breastfeeding, Sha. So, yes, I love that you are intentional about taking breaks. I love that you are intentional about living your life. And I love that you showcase your life so positively.
Thank
so please,
you.
Please, please keep doing that.
Thank you.
The name of this podcast is Mom's Worst Day. So can you tell us what the worst day of being a mom has been for you?
Okay, so there's actually been a number of really bad days.
Thank you. That's the there.
There's
that's,
been a,
that's,
a
that's,
number
that's,
of really
that is the
bad
correct
days.
Answer.
And it's not everything I can talk about, but
of
one
course.
That was particularly bad. So sometime last year, shortly after my birthday, like we were upstairs, my husband and I, this was during lockdown, and we just heard like my baby crying. And like we looked at the camera, and my husband saw my nanny like taking Tyranny to the sink. So he ran down, and turns out there had been like a bit of a domestic accident, like hot food had poured on his face.
Oh no.
And it was very bad. Like he had to go to the hospital. His face like peeled. So there's a scar there on his face, on his neck, on his leg. And it was just like in the midst of COVID. So that was scary.
Oh yeah.
We were at home. Like there was no need for her to be in the kitchen at that time with the baby. There was no need for her to be making that food for herself at that time. So it was just very sad and very painful. That like my baby got scarred because of someone's careless behavior. But it was also a learning experience because like that month we had to let that nanny go. We'd had her for a while, so she was with my parents before. But that month it was just like a series of back-to-back nonsense. Like she wore my dress and
I saw
a picture of it, like her wallpaper on the phone was her in that dress, and I was like, what's going on? Like it was just like the audacity. And then the last the straw that broke the camel's back or whatever. It was a rainy day. And this is after this whole scar thing. You're not even apologetic or whatever. And we have like this mini pool. I'm like, you guys should not swim today. Like, it was a rainy day. And then I'm hearing voices from outside. And I look out the window and I see her fully clothed with my sword in the water. And I'm like, nah, this girl has, yeah. She's overstayed her welcome. So yeah, that was, yeah, it was like, okay, bye-bye. Come on, be going, yeah. So
that must have been horrible.
Yeah, and it was like my birthday month. I'm like, really? Like, God was all this like back to back nonsense, but it was time for change.
Yeah, I agree. It was time for change. And it's really scary, like, especially when it comes to help, right? I hold on to help until God literally has to pry open my hand.
And it was just because she had been since like she was there when I was pregnant. She was with my parents when I was even getting married. When I was pregnant, she'll come to the house, we'll like tidy the baby's room together, like go through my clothes together. I was like, but people change. That's the thing. Like, you can't be too emotional. So I learned that you can't be too attached and too sentimental. Like, once you see like they're starting to go left, then yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't be afraid.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be afraid to let people go. Mm-hmm. I think is the main thing here. And someone else will come around and
help you. Yeah, we got a really good person after that, and the person you have now is more or less perfect actually. So thank God.
Thank God for that.
Thank God. And his skin has like healed pretty well. There's just like a small scar there, but I'm just like,
it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And he's like, so beautiful. Anyway. You know, like he's so cute.
And he has like long lashes. Like, people are like, why are his lashes so long? Can you borrow
how,
me
that's
some?
That's how it always is. It's always the boys.
The boys. What do you need it for?
I don't know. It's so rude, actually. Yeah. But yeah, he's beautiful. I'm sorry you went through that.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that he's okay.
When it wasn't worse.
Exactly.
Like, it could have been worse,
exactly. When these accidents happen with your children, it can be very devastating, mm-hmm. and you're dealing with all sorts of like feelings of guilt. But
even the first time he had diaper rash was after he was two. So I felt so bad that day because I didn't even know what was going on. He was just very cranky.
Mm-hmm.
And like my neighbor was around. She has a 2-year-old. She's 1 month older than Tyranny. And she was like, why is he behaving like this? Because he's not a cranky baby. She was like, let me see his boomer. She's like, she used to touch her. She was like, that's scary. I was like, wow, it didn't even cross my mind because he had never had his. Why is it when you're 2 years old that you're having diaper rash?
Oh no.
But it was because he had been like pooing a lot because we both had like food poisoning or mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he had been pooing a lot. So that was very sore. So it was just like,
oh, bless him. Like, my diaper rash is so uncomfortable.
At 2 years of motherhood, that's when I'm learning something like this that people experience at 1 month old.
It's never too late. Mm-hmm. So you can learn anything at any time.
Yeah.
When I had my son, so the day I had my son, I think I've shared this here before. So I had my son in the ward, right? So I give birth and they're like, okay. They clean him up and bring him to me. And they say, okay, it's now time to feed the baby. I'm like, okay, cool. So I just sit there and I'm waiting. And then 20 minutes later, the nurse comes back. Oh, you know, did you manage to feed him? I was like, oh, no. I was waiting for
somebody.
I was waiting for the formula. Like, who's going to come? Because you said I should. So I've just been waiting for the bottle. And she's just looking at me like, you're waiting for which bottle? I'm like, the bottle. You guys started trying to feed me. She was like, ma'am, your breast, you bring out your breast. I was like, oh, as in now?
Straight up.
I said, like, but I just had the, as for now? She was like, yes, now. I was like,
women are superheroes for
this. Are you sure? Like, are we not supposed to wait small? Like, I was like, because I was like, I definitely don't feel, because I felt like, oh, you would just know, and then you milk would just rush in, and then she was like, no, you need to stop feeding now. And I found this out as I had the baby.
Wow.
All the prenatal classes.
All the studying, the
prenatal classes. I just used to go there and eat snacks. So in my hostel, they had really nice snacks. So I'll just go to the back, eat my snacks. I'll be on my phone. After eating my snacks, I'll go. I could have bought the same snacks and stayed at home. But I don't know. I just, when you're pregnant, please, this thing is just makes
honestly
sense. The snack in the hostel, that's the one that I wanted. So I'll go there and eat the snack. So I didn't know that you're supposed to feed the baby with your breast as soon as you had the baby.
Wow.
And I found this out after I gave birth. You live and you learn. So diaper rash at 2 sounds reasonable to me. This is just the day I learned it. It's the day I learned it, and it's fine.
It is.
So do you have any interesting projects coming up that you're working on that you can share? Yeah. Or do you have anything, any shows or anything coming up that you'd like to share? Any
really, just this belated honeymoon life we should watch out for. That's really what's next on my horizon.
That's as it should be. Yeah. So are you going to do like YouTube for it? You're going to do like YouTube, Instagram
to start off with, then YouTube later. When I'm back and settle down, I'll start editing the vlogs, whatever you post.
Okay, so you wouldn't edit while you're there.
No.
Good on you, sis. No. Good on you, sis.
It's for enjoyment.
Please.
Full on enjoyment.
I love that. So we're looking forward to it. I'm going to turn on my post notification. Yeah. And then where can we find you on YouTube?
Tuke Morgan.
So everything's Tuke Morgan. So TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Okay, Tuke I can't wait. Okay, have you announced where you're going for the honeymoon?
No, I haven't. So
okay.
That's the secret.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to multiple cities. We're staying at different hotels, different experiences.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I love to see it. Congratulations. Yeah, you deserve it.
It's been a journey. Even to get the visa. Like, we've actually had to change the date like twice because the visa didn't come out on time.
Oh, no.
Interesting. So I'm British. So I've never had to deal with all this, like, waiting for visa thing. So I couldn't. I was sorry, but I was just shocked. Like, the hypertension. Just waiting. I'm like,
flex. I'm sorry. Yeah. Tuke said I'm British, so I don't like visa. What is that? This is the ghetto.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand what's going on. She's flexing, and it's okay because humility has finally found you. Humility has found you, and that's the good thing about God. Will surely humble the proud hearted.
Serious humbling. What?
So you've gone to go and look for visa, but I'm looking forward to this trip. It's going to be amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I am a big believer in affirmations, and because I think it's so important to say certain things to yourself. There's power in your words, and it just kind of helps you rewire.
I just get into the right mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm a big believer in affirmations. And the affirmation today is asking for help does not mean that I am a failure. Asking for help does not mean I am a failure. Okay. What are you getting from that?
Yeah, like, it's good to have a support system. Like, I'm so glad I have the neighbors I have, because we'd be like, yo, I need some basmati rice. Yo, I need capsicum for school for tomorrow. I need, like, chips. And it's so good that, like, you have people around you. You can't do everything on your own.
Mm-hmm.
No man is an island. Like, there are times you'll be sick. There are times, like, you just have things that you're dealing with and you can't mother right. So it's always nice to have other people you can lean on.
Amen. So yeah, I completely agree with you regarding a support system. I think that mothers try to do too much on their own because we've been conditioned to equate suffering with motherhood.
Outsource
as much as you can. I'm a big believer in outsourcing. Everything outsourceable, I outsource.
Like, we just got a driver recently, and I was with my auntie yesterday, and she was like, why didn't you have a driver since? So you mean all these years you've been driving yourself?
Oh,
like,
no. Could never be me. In Lagos? You've been driving yourself in Lagos
like
all
I
time?
Used to, like, especially when I was younger, before I got married and I was, like, fully on this music thing, I would drive to studio in Marlboro. I'm like, this kid, you, like, I don't understand why I did certain things I did. But the ginger was a lot. And I guess the energy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have as much responsibility. But I used to really enjoy driving, but not anymore.
No, and I understand. I please, outsource everything that you can and just focus. Focus on yourself, and asking for help is really, really brave. I used to think that asking for help made me weak, but it actually makes you brave, and it makes your life easier and makes you a better person when you can have some more support.
Yeah,
so,
like, sometimes
you're
scared
that.
To be vulnerable, but it's just like,
oh my, I need this help.
You have to.
Can you come and get these kids? Yeah, like, you know, like, can I drop them off with you for a couple of hours? Like, I'm tired. I have things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love it.
And especially, like, even in those first few months of motherhood, like, my mom couldn't be with me in the UK throughout. So I had to, like, call my mother-in-law, and I'm like, yo, Momo, I need you. You need to come and take care of your grandson. So, yeah, she came and she spent some weeks with me. So it was really, like, it was good bonding time as well for us. And it was nice that there was someone else to help. Yeah, I didn't even have to, like, cook or lift a finger. It's nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
Very nice.
What a wonderful lady. Thank you so much, oh, mommy. We appreciate you.
Thank you, mama.
And thank you so much, Suka. Thank you for coming. This was really, really awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Make sure, again, you look out for her on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Suka Morgan. This honeymoon go loud. I can't miss this for anything.
They're not ready.
I can't miss for anything. So please look out for that. Yeah. And until next time, everyone. Bye.
Bye.